6:03. We are calling to order the Mountain Regional Water Special Service District Administrative Control Board meeting. It is July 21st at 6:03. Do we have any public input?
There's no public on Zoom.
Okay, no public. Do we need to go into executive session?
Yes.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous.
By the way, I spoke to Kimber. She's very nice.
Oh, yeah, she's
very, very nice. I was very impressed. And she was patient with me, since I don't speak very well. But I liked her.
Thanks for the feedback.
That's Richens?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So does anyone have questions on the consent agenda?
I have a question on the check log. It seemed like, is this a month where we're cleaning out all the overpayments?
What it is.
There's 20 pages of checks.
Yeah.
Yeah, for stuff that I feel like has closed, like, maybe even over a year ago, too. Like, it was, like, I even went back and I was like, maybe they sent me the 2021 check register.
I should have probably sent a little memo that you could have read, too. So we closed out the Wells Fargo account. So all the checks that hadn't cleared, we either were going through the process of either sending them into the state as unclaimed property, or you have to do one last try to contact them and reissue a check before we can do that. So basically, we void them all out of Wells, create a liability, we contact them one more time, or try to contact them, and if not, we send a big check to the state. So that's the first 8 pages are all voids, because clearing those out of the old account. Mm.
That makes sense. Does anyone have any other questions on the check register? It seems like I have. Oh, there was $140,000 for Sage Hills.
You know what page that's on?
I don't.
Inspection fees for new development.
Or maybe that was on the financial statement, Steve. Maybe it was on the capital schedule. Sorry.
Oh yeah, that's on the capital budget. Okay. That we've allocated some money out of unallocated to cover the Sage Hill, our portion of it, when Promontory moves forward.
Yeah, I don't have any questions on the check register. Okay, did you want to talk about the trucks, or are we okay on the, is everyone okay on
There's them? A couple of pictures if you want to see them. They're just an old plow truck, a 2008, that we've got a 2017 that we're going to turn into the plow truck, so we can auction that one off. And then now that the seasonals are finishing up, we have one spare truck we want to sell in the next month or two as seasonals finish up. Because we'll replace it next spring, so we don't need it just sitting over the winter kind of thing.
So you go to Cali Blue Book, less what the fee might be at an auction place, and then kind of set that as a line?
That's the minimum that
the minimum.
An employee can bid. And if nobody bids at least the minimum, then we just send it to the auction.
Okay.
Are we surplusing this as well?
Well, took a picture of it just in case. We were thinking we'll keep the plow, but not take the brackets off the plow truck. But we may keep this plow because we could use it on other trucks, okay. Is what I've been told by operations. It'd be the one with the chrome.
The 350?
The 350.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's got the ability. So somebody might buy it. Maybe we'll buy it, put their own plow on it or whatever. It's going to snow every year.
I know, right?
The chrome looks nice.
Yeah.
So there's a market for used cars, but at this price of gas, who knows?
Yeah. The 350 is a diesel, the other one's a gas.
Oh, it is?
So, okay. Yeah.
It's even worse.
Yeah. I was in California, and it's over $7 a gallon in some places out there. Yeah.
But the good news is the rust won't get worse. because we don't get enough snow to salt anymore.
That's right. Yeah, the 350 does have some rust coming up from the bottom. Some pretty good ones. Okay.
Okay, and then do we have a purchase order? It's on here, but I
think no, we didn't. We have a holding spot, but we didn't end up putting it on there. So yeah.
Okay, so do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as presented and discussed.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're unanimous.
Okay, we'll start with the financial summary, and then we'll get to the usage report that shows residential, large residential, and what we kind of experienced in June. But on the changing net position, you'll notice we're about $800,000 better than budget right now, and it's split pretty evenly between being over $400,000 in revenue and under $400,000 in expenses. About half of that expense savings is coming from payroll because of the delay in some hires and the vacant position for a while.
Steve had a question on one of those. How does the reserve... How does the drought reserve fund increase in value? I saw it on, maybe it was a projection.
Oh, it earns interest.
So there's interest earned on that line item?
Yeah, because each is in its own PTIF account. So we have 12.
What's PTIF?
Oh, sorry, Public Treasurer's Investment Fund.
It's the state of the Utah. Got
it. It's the state of Utah Investment
Fund. So that's in its own account.
So it's in its own account, so that we track each account as it earns its own interest. On the revenue side, Lisa, maybe up just a little bit, where that yellow, yeah. So you can see retail water sales, Promontory Raw Water, Park City Wheeling, we're all under budget on those, but they're made up by the development-related collections that are over. The one thing I have to say that we've seen so far in July, so if we go down, if we talk about just... impact fees, maybe that's, I'm trying to remember where that is. Maybe that's up above that. Budget for impact fees through June was 900,000. 700,000, we were at about 900,000. So we were $200,000 over budget in impact fees. For July and August, they're usually our biggest impact fee months. So they both have a budget of $230,000 of impact fees to come in this year. So far through July, we're only at about 40. So it's starting. The people not being as aggressive in the market and things like that. So I'm hoping by the end of the year we'll still get to our 1.6 million, but we've already given back some of those gains, let's say. We're still ahead of, we will be ahead of budget by the end of July, but I would not think it's gonna be by 200,000 anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
And where was that in?
It should be, sorry.
It's kind of lumped in development related collections in the yellow line.
I think I've spelled it out somewhere, though, there, too. At the page 2, where it talks about revenue, development-related collections, 521. Then it talks about through June, it was 900 that we'd receive, $700,000 budget, and 1.6 for the year. Meter connections, we were running, ahead of budget through June as well. We're starting to see evidence of possibly a slight slowdown in development.
Super impressive. You can from the net, those numbers kind of forecast out where that's going to go. So
yeah,
good job.
We track
the money comes in lagging behind what we sold, and that's down 40% on residential for last month
for the usage.
Yeah.
So we'll see that here in just a second. go down.
But for development fees, right?
Yeah. But for development fees, exactly. So water sales in June, this kind of will show you a little bit about what happened. So normally in June, we budgeted $857,000 for residential sales. We only came in about $706,000, so about $150,000 under. You can see, commercial was actually a little bit above budget. Several were under. Irrigation golf, we'll hit a little bit later, was definitely below. So we ended up $122,000 below June's budgeted number. If we had not implemented drought rates, that would have been about double that. So the drought plan is working how it's kind of supposed to. We figured we'd lose so much, but we'd make back half of that through the rates, and the other half, if we have to, we'll get into drought reserves.
And reduced expenses,
expenses.
We are already down on our stuff. We are currently down.
I mean, at some point, that's going to loop back and ask us, what do we use the drought reserve money for?
Yeah.
because if we're pricing rates, remember we were going to go through this experimental period.
Yeah.
It's probably rained more than we thought it was going
well,
to.
And that's we'd have to be using it, let's say, if expenses, if we didn't have the savings and expenses and the development-related collections, we'd be staring using those drought reserves right in the face right now.
So you think in a couple of months we will be hitting it this year?
I don't know. I have to see. We had some people's behavior obviously change in June. Mm-hmm. We also had a wet June, and we'd asked them to specifically wait irrigation. From what operations has been telling us, the tanks have been refilling more often, pumps have been running more, so July's usage probably won't be a typical July, but it still might be higher than a 40% cut. We just don't know until next week.
And we've had some of our larger users who in the past have just paid a $4,000 bill call us and say, we're actually going to now try to chase our leak. So the drought rates are changing some behaviors,
awesome.
But we don't know what rain did to that as well. So July, I think, will be a little more telling.
Yeah. That was one of my questions. Maybe you guys can answer. I mean, I don't want to talk numbers, but just in generalities, are we doing better on water usage?
Yes,
we're doing a lot better.
Okay, and people are taking this, quote, drought seriously?
Yes, I think the vast majority of our customers are taking it seriously. And we had a lot fewer customers, about half the number of customers in June of last. So we had about 700 customers who last June would have been in drought tiers. This year was just over 300. So we had a lot of people decrease their usage. Again, we don't know if that was partially weather related. So that's where we're looking for.
Are we running into any problems with anyone in particular? You don't have to mention names, but I mean, are we running into problems with HOAs or individuals?
How many fines have we issued? I know back here.
I'd say if you're going to talk about one problem, it's back here. It's the Silver Creek HOA.
The Silver Creek HOA.
At our last discussion about it, they've had violations at different sites, whether it's the park, whether it's a duplex, the developers are owning it, people are occupying. It's just a real hodgepodge back there.
There's a bunch of builders, isn't there?
Oh,
yeah.
There's probably 10 different entities that have the requirement to establish their landscaping somehow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of new sod going in, so then
if
the contractor wants to water it.
And tell us, but watering in the middle of the day still doesn't make sense, even if you are trying to water in your sod. But Steve and I have gone through there a couple times, and there are some offenders, and their grass is this high.
We do our morning or midday walk. So it got too hot.
Well, see, I had a neighbor who, like, every day at noon his sprinklers were on full blast, and I was like, he's going to learn his lesson.
And I'm paying a lot and not get much benefit out of that water in the middle of the day.
In fact, I was going to bring his address and check.
Anna and her team has done a great job of chasing
people are shaming. I mean, they're calling us and letting us know who's, you know.
That's good.
And we're putting door hangers on people's, you know, if our guys are driving around and see anything,
awesome.
People are getting door hangers. We are on a regional list, the Division of Water Resources gets that. I mean, I don't know if it's public shaming or whatever. They have a site where people are calling in and letting them know about people. And then every week, Park City, Summit Water, and I, we all exchange, you know, whose address this is. And I mean, the list is really small. And we haven't had a Mountain Regional Water customer offender yet. It's been Summit. Park City's had a couple, and someone on a well on Old Ranch. But everybody's taking it from, you know, you'll see the June numbers and, you know, how much was it rain. I'd like to say I did a good job. We did a good job messaging. And it's working because it's 40%. And that's what we asked for, 40%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the first time we've had to go through this. And to get that kind of response from our customers, I was really, really pleased. And we really wanted to thank them, and we're trying to thank them. Anna's going to show you a postcard that we're sending out. And, you know, just we saved over 30 million gallons. Right, Steve?
Yeah.
So far, like mostly in June.
That's a lot. So maybe unless there's specific questions about the financial summary, I think you kind of got a ballpark idea of what's going on. Let's jump to that usage thing. And maybe make that a little bigger.
Bigger or?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So residential, So we've gone from 1,987 customers last year using 26 million gallons, to almost 2,100 customers this year, and they only use 16.6 million. So you can see they, per customer, they had a 40% drop. Large residential did really well too for them, that they, you know, had a drop in usage despite the growth. So on a per large residential, there are almost 40% savings as well on their usage. So all residential, if you just go hard numbers without factoring growth, had a 35% drop. If you factor in growth, it's a 41% drop. So,
and what's going on with apartments? Like, is that Silver Creek also?
Well, it's a lot of that, a lot of occupancy that's coming in, and so they're actually using water. Because on a per unit,
this is year over year, right?
Yeah, it's year over year.
Station over there on Rasmussen.
Oh, okay.
But if you look at each apartment, it's under 2,500 gallons each, so that...
But it was only 1,500 gallons.
Yeah, and I think that's because we had a lot of empty stuff last year that was kind of, they were on water rates, but nobody was really in there living yet.
Gotcha.
The commercial hasn't done quite as well, but obviously there are some savings there. Irrigation, you can see, saved 42.9% when you factor in growth. And what Lisa was getting to, down at the bottom, the total culinary gallons, we went from 106.7 million last year to only 74.4 this year.
Focusing on the 40% from a public relations standpoint, we can measure that it's 40%. We know that it's probably made up of three different components, you know, weather, you name it, rates, but we have no idea what percentage of that is contributed towards our campaign to get it out there, whether it's the rain, so we should probably not take credit for anything other than say, hey, look, we got great customers.
You're right. We pulled several levers, whether our levers had impact or Mother Nature had impact. That's why July might be more, because we're having a hot July.
I just say be careful of going out and saying,
yeah. Thank you, customers.
No, you're right. We're going to have to be careful how we message it, because more than likely we're going to be asking people to pay more to use less.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So
they may be saying we did our part, but now all of a sudden we have this big bill coming our way. So,
and just last,
don't take credit for the economy.
And then last on the golf course irrigation, from 48.6 million last year to only 31.5, so a 35% drop in the golf course irrigation. So.
And it looks good out there. I mean, you really can. You know, they made a big deal about, like, wouldn't let us drive on the golf course
all
in May. So, but the courses look good, except for that one hole that they can't pull up the lake.
Oh, I wasn't.
Yeah, they found out they had a hole that had leaky lake. You know, like, so they're waiting for it to dry out.
Are they letting the rough kind of dry out a little bit more too, and just kind of keeping the fairway more green? I've seen places do that before, but
they should do that, because the rough is, like, you know, gets worse as the year goes on, right? It's harder and harder to find your ball.
Okay, so that's kind of the big finance update. So let's just say the drought plan worked for June. We'll see what happens in July, and we'll keep you updated as quick as we know, kind of thing. So.
How do we have any factor figures? How we compare to others, like in the valley versus here? I mean, are we using less water? Are we doing better than other places?
Good question, Joel. I have to admit, I haven't checked Park City if they've released any. Right.
So Weber Basin, because things were better than predicted, has not been as stringent, so we actually let Promontory know that they could use a little more water than we previously had told them. So I think things through June were a little better, but as hot as it's been, who knows?
Anybody looked at Rockport and Echo?
They're full.
Full.
Well,
they're storing water up here next year.
Weber Basin spent $6.5 million buying or renting 19,000 acre feet.
Oh.
So it's being stored right now.
Okay.
And from, like, Davis and Weber?
Is it
Provo River Water District?
Yes.
You know, I called Cy Saunders, or whoever the organization is, and I talked to you. At Temple Harshavon, we have a leak, and we can't find out where the fucking too. So I can't find out where the bloody leak is. We don't know. It's a spring. It's not Cy Saunders and his company. I think I talked to, I don't know if I talked to Andy or somebody else, but I mean, any help you can give us, because we're wasting water. I mean, it's in the lower level of the parking lot. But we wish we could find a leak or the source so we can at least stop it. We've tried to shut off the water. That doesn't do any good. So I just have my piece.
Okay.
I don't know why it's leaking. Oh. Hopefully it's the spring.
Get Brian over there. He can find leaks, can't he?
We can go see if we can help troubleshoot it.
If you could, that'd be great.
Question about schools real quick.
Oh.
So they didn't change at all. Like, they not as worried about the ones that are way over. I'm sure you have an explanation for that. But, like, if somebody stayed exactly the same, like, did they just not do anything?
Schools are managed by someone, and he did not want to listen to our talk of decreasing sprinkler usage. So if you drive by the schools, you'll notice they're... fields are really green.
And they're watering during the day.
And they're, and it's just...
And we sent them a huge bill.
Yeah. And...
No word? We haven't heard back from them, Anna?
No. Not since I told her who was managing.
But yeah, that's a good call out. I should have mentioned that. The schools, they just haven't changed their usage pattern.
Sounds like you're not, though, so good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Anna and her group, in June... If they saw anyone with a leak or high usage or during the day, they were on the phone, letters, emails, and our response was minimal.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Does that include Summer Park, where all the leaks have been? I mean, have we made any inroads in Summer Park?
A little bit.
Yeah.
They're, I mean, the typical abusers are not in Summer Park, other than the leaks.
Okay.
They tend to be small users.
Has Weber Basin given us a drought update? Weren't they at level? Or have they changed their level? Or
I don't think they've actually changed the level, but they've eased off a little bit.
They eased up a little bit on the unmetered customers. We're only able to water once a week, and they're allowing twice a week now.
In their system.
Mm-hmm.
In their.
But have they announced that? They were like at a 4.5 or something. What was that? I mean, didn't they divide this thing into half of points?
They added a whole new level.
Okay.
And that's why we added one.
Yeah, and they actually kind of...
Are we still at that?
They were one higher level than we were, and we decided on the 40%, and they're down at the 40% now, too.
When
so
they
kind of matched where we were.
When do they do updates again?
We haven't received a letter. You were at conference with Darren this week.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. I mean, there's a lot of...
We haven't received any letters or notices or nothing.
But we have a regionalization meeting with them on the 9th.
So I saw that in my calendar, and I was like, is that right? So that there is a meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it at Weber Basin?
It is.
Yeah.
Hold on. I just want to make sure I didn't delete it off my...
And last on the finance update, we've had some questions and wanted to kind of just give a visual view of where our standby lots are. So where our potential growth will be coming from. The large... So I put together some numbers. Sam put it in a nice map for us. So
yeah, this was fascinating. That was great.
Had to study
a little bit. Yeah, me
too. See, there's finally a picture in finance, and it had to come from engineering. I don't know. I tell you, but so the big pink-ish dot is Promontory, then Silver Creek down right here behind the office. Those are our two biggest areas where we have a lot of standby customers. Then you'll see up the North Ridge between Blackstone, Preserve, Red Hawk, and State, you know, it's all kind of evenly spread going up there. Over in Summit Park, there's a lot of standby lots and fees. Some of them we think are people who intentionally have a second lot and maybe won't build on it, but there is still potential for a lot of growth over there. And then the Colony, Lisa, if you can scroll down a little bit.
Summit Park. It was poorly platted. A number of those lots would require like $200,000 to $500,000 worth of geotechnical work to get a foundation on. So they probably won't be built in the short term.
Yeah.
Let's hope. That was a surprising number.
Yeah, that was kind of so, because we don't see a lot of impact fees come out of there, but we still have a lot of standby
13%.
Yeah. And then Colony, so the blue dot up there. The one thing is this is based on accounts, this graph, not ERC. So Colony is actually probably a little bit bigger than that, because every time a Colony house goes in, it's a 3 or 4, yeah, it's a big ERC house.
So this is what we have annexed already.
Annexed,
because it looked to me like the canyons area, you'd see a bigger dot in the canyons, but they're building and not necessarily areas that are annexed into our system.
Yeah, that we're not set to serve. So just kind of give you a picture of where our potential growth is, where we're getting our standby fees from.
Yeah, it's great work.
Is there someone out there on Old Ranch Road that's, wasn't it at one time someone was going to build like a 5-acre pond out there and put culinary water in it from us? If they came to us a year and a half or 2 years ago.
I remember that.
Are you talking about Quarry Mountain?
Well,
was that on the, is that on the bend kind of?
It's that, it's on, they're building this huge complex here.
Oh, yeah.
That they dug a huge hole in the ground. I was wondering if that was the place that they were looking to put in this 5-acre lake.
Is that the one we just did the fire hydrant for?
Yeah.
One of the things that, if you haven't talked to Pat Potts, we're not approving a lot of landscaping for the this Steinville Basin Planning Commission. I mean, we're really, really clumping down. Not just on the bill, but on the landscaping. But if you want to talk to Pat Pott, he's a great resource. He knows what's coming on the pike. The other thing that we're also doing, just so you guys know, Recycle Utah is going to move eventually, probably out by the Home Depot, but I'll try to keep you guys abreast. We're getting closer and closer and closer. We have to work with the county and the city. We're probably going to get 4 to 10 acres, 3 to 10 acres, but we'll see.
Will you take the city's parcel out there? Will you take Park City's parcel in the Gilmore subdivision?
Yeah, I think it's 7. It's right next to the maintenance building.
So that'll be in close to us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
These are like to the side of High Valley and Mountain Regional. There's a little spot back in there.
Yes, and we'll probably be in the back. Mm-hmm. That's not for public dissemination, but by the same token, I want to let you guys know that we're working on it. We're meeting with the city. We're meeting with the county. But if you have other questions, just let me know. So.
Great.
And then one other thing. On the Silver Creek Village, we're also being very, very critical about landscaping. There's like 1,000 homes. I mean, between homes and condos and townhomes, it's ridiculous. And you probably know that's probably where their growth is going to be out there. So you can do some planning on there. But we meet every couple of weeks, and I mean, we've made a lot of progress. But by the same token, I think that you guys should make any suggestions to save water. I mean, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but people don't realize how bad this drought is. I mean, it's terrible. Utah's lucky, but by the same token, what a bloody mess.
Yeah, and we've been working with the county to try to get the county to institute a clip-to-strip program they're still struggling it. I thought it was supposed to come on the agenda this past week, but they canceled that meeting. So it still should be coming to encourage people not to landscape as much. And there'll be incentives.
If you need some help, let me know.
Thank you.
I am more than happy to help. I've said enough.
I'm done.
Okay. On the Capitol, I had a question on the $140,000 for stage. I just didn't know what that was.
So we're asking, when they put that in, that subdivision, they're going to a betterment to the line, Sam, is that right? That our portion we're estimating will cost that to put in a bigger line than just Promontory itself.
We're asking to upsize it.
Upsize it, because it will help us with water. Enough, son. Play engineer for a second. All right.
Great, good night.
Okay, so we're done with Steve.
Did we do the minutes in the...
Yes, that's part of the consent agenda.
That's all. Okay. So one of the things that we learned is you and I actually need to sign...
The minutes?
The minutes.
Okay.
You know, all of us and the people are great people.
We're in our right minds.
Thank you.
I'm not about saying this.
Oh.
My wife is.
So in your packet is a draft of an RFP for a new building. One of the things that we found out is we can't piggyback on what the county is doing over what they're calling the campus project. And so we'd like to go ahead and issue the RFP to give us an idea of what the cost will be. Steve, Lisa, and I have kind of gone through the finances of the money that we have here. Between selling our side of the building, some impact fees, we think our portion of any debt related to the new building will be about $4 to $5 million. We think we have enough free cash stuck away in our budget that we could use and not affect any debt service coverage. So I'd like to get that RFP issued to get an idea of where costs may be.
Are you going to send the therapy out to two or three builders, or how are you going to work that?
So we through the procurement process, use the state website, which opens it up to anybody, and then those bids will come back. GSBS did some preliminary work for us, but I can't just say to them, hey, take this over and go. My guess is the RFP for the building will be a couple $100,000 based on what we're seeing from the other entities out there. So the goal is to get that issued and then hopefully get things back by the beginning of next year. Ultimately, if we can time everything correctly, we could then bid the build out when the county is doing all of the building out there to hopefully get some economies of scale in that.
Where is he, just so you know, where is he, Jack Thomas? And for our, we meet every couple of weeks, regardless of what we have to say.
That's from the Recycle Utah?
Yes.
Yeah, we wish we had that, we could go that easy, but we have to go through a process.
So the administrative offices, all those things that are listed in there, was that a result of some of the work that had been done by Scott earlier
yes.
to develop a program?
Yes.
A number of parking places and all
yes.
that?
Yes. Okay. So there is some of that legwork.
But you can add on to that?
We can. Know.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not bound by that, because they could come back and say, have you thought about this and that? And one of the things, I was over at the fire district today, they have a pretty slick building over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just hoping to tour a couple of the other facilities in the area to see. I mean, I think Mike Lourdes has done a great job with
kitchens
his.
Kitchens and workout areas.
Yep, boardrooms.
Must be a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, those are the things that, you know, kind of thought about some of those things, but someone could come back and say, instead of 6 bays, you want 7 bays with a lift in it. Whatever.
But are you going to have a control room for SCADA, or is it going to be on the wall like here?
We could have a bullpen
were those things, and that's the thing, is do we have offices, do we have open spaces, has COVID changed how we operate or should think about doing things?
Yeah.
You know, for a while there, everything was open. COVID happens, everything's kind of shrunk and everyone wants their own space, so we need to just look. But one of the things that we absolutely need is we need a space to store our dump trucks, our backhoes. We have a truck that has a crane on it, and it sits outside most of the time, and the crane is shot. I mean, it's
what aged. About surplus supplies and stuff? Do you have anywhere to put that?
We're going to be building that, so I don't, you know, come hang out here a third of the day. Stuff gets dropped out back, and it has to get hauled up to either Silver Creek, the treatment plant, Peoa. So it's just really not an efficient way to do it. And from an inventory standpoint, when we had those leaks, we had a leak up in Bear Hollow. One of the dump trucks had a flat tire, and so in order to get filled, they had to go from Bear Hollow Drive up by Rob's Trail, all the way down through Sun Peak, all the way up to Ian's neighborhood to get the materials, to bring it all the way back. Fortunately, we have equipment stashed all over the system, but this would give us one central location to store things, to work out of, to have a board meeting that functions.
So you have bulk material storage where you can get to it right now on the weekends or something?
Yeah.
Gravel and all that?
Yeah. We're still recovering from some of our.
So when we talk about the water treatment plant expansion, and we said, well, maybe look at some other options, is there room on this site for a new plant?
Over here?
Our new parcel?
It's 5 acres, probably not. So one of the other discussions is with Park City is sending water, raw water.
They've got the plant.
They have that plant.
Use that infrastructure.
Yeah, use that and save that money. Clint has indicated because we own a lot of that infrastructure that hopefully it'll just be a reasonable cost. And one of the things is when Three Kings comes online and Quinn's becomes surplus, they're going to have to run water through that in order to keep that plant ready.
Three Kings or Quinn's.
Quinn's.
The membranes.
Right on. Yes.
So there could be a win-win situation for us where he wants to keep it running. We don't want to pay a whole lot, but it kind of works out.
And that may involve
to keep it functioning.
Another interconnect on 224 with maybe a booster. And so Sam's kind of just pencil eyeballing that. And that's going to be part of our regionalization meeting on the 9th. Just kind of looking at a holistic view of the entire valley on how water.
So where are we with the contract on Signal Hill? Have we put that on pause?
We have put that on pause. Okay. There are some things that we should be doing up at Signal Hill that we're just trying to get a meeting with Joseph from Jacobs. That we need to do some upgrading and retrofitting to make it more efficient. I found out yesterday that part of the building doesn't have fire suppression.
How could that even happen?
I don't know. I'm not going to.
Wow.
And different spaces have different requirements.
Yeah, but everything up there, everything in Promontory has to be sprinkled. Oh.
Apparently, it should have happened, but somehow it didn't happen, and now we're trying to figure out how to make it happen. Because when I was up there yesterday, Brant said that Park City will not sign off on any more expansion up there until that's addressed. Fortunately, it's just the GAC area and that end of the plant, the newest addition. So we got to figure that out.
Sure. Well, I've been to, you know, several water districts, and they'll have their, you know, admin facility, and then it's nice when they can have their plant, you know, right there. I don't know if it's just something maybe we keep in mind if we can save some space for a future something.
Yeah, we're going to try to maximize
5 acres. That's okay.
And one of the things we'll have out there is a conservation garden. We want to use solar. We want to be, you know, we want to maximize the space that we best we can and lay it out. So if we ever had to,
a lot of districts have conservation gardens.
If we ever had to expand or whatever, is it two separate buildings? Is it one building with garage space downstairs? And if you've been to the sewer district, their newest building. You know, are those things, and then you get into ADA things, but we want to look at everything and just explore it. the best we can.
If you need to talk to Recycle Utah, just mention my name, Dr. Carolyn Wara.
Okay.
So phase two is...
She'll bend over backwards, I think, to help you.
Perfect. Thanks, Joel.
Okay, and then keep going. And construction route. Okay. So it's the full start to finish scope.
Yeah.
And the good thing about doing this, I think this is the path that we're still heading down. We can get this set of, this design work done. The county is essentially at the same place, timing-wise, from where we are and getting their design done on their county campus. So we could go in to bid together to have that economies of scale if we got the same. Once we both have our set of plans, we can go to the builder and find a builder to do both our spots at the same time,
which would
help.
Yeah.
High Valley, we're a little bit too late because they're ahead of the game, but we think we can definitely piggyback off the county's campus, which will help tremendously. And everything was, we had a meeting with Tom and Chris and Roger, and then Tom announced he was leaving. So hopefully we still have the same sentiment from the new county manager, whoever that is, but...
How is High Valley Transit doing? They were really hurrying to get their
infrastructure. So they applied for some federal transit money. And with that federal transit money came federal regulations. So Fed trickles down to UDOT. UDOT's a road builder in Utah. They're not a facility builder. So that's created some other problems. We talked to Carolyn yesterday because they'll owe us an impact fee when they want to get going. So they've just signed a lease on the old Park City Towing for this coming winter. They'll vacate Ecker Hill and they'll come over here.
Because they were trying to have something in place by November. They needed a shelter.
Right.
Vacate Ecker Hill, is that like taking the circus tent down?
Yes. Yeah. That infrastructure, the roads and everything, was supposed to have started a month ago.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And as of last week, the plat... they were waiting for First American Title, so we have not even closed on our land yet. But as soon as that happens, we'll do that. And so the next topic is, I had sent everyone a copy of the updated phase one that we had engaged. Mm-hmm. There were two things that were identified, but nothing material that...
this recommending that we don't do any more on it. I think that was the opinion on it, that it's a clean site.
Yeah.
So I think that we've done our due diligence on it.
Yep. Now, one of the things that Dave Thomas brought to our attention last week was 90 days from the date of that, we need to close on the land or that becomes stale or void. It was $1,900 to do that. So our goal is to get the land closed. It's been a month, within the next 60 days.
Did they give you a price range if they had to update it, though? Like...
I didn't go that far because I didn't know that. And based on the... And there was interesting, the other phase one that was done was from 2018, and I didn't realize they had a 90-day shelf life on them. We will close on the land.
Okay, cool.
And we'll just have to fence it off.
Have we had a council look over this agreement, like Dave Thomas or somebody else?
The RFP?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, we created it. It was based on a document that he originally had issued for Public Works. We sent it back. Lisa, I can't remember who else, Chris, myself, then reworked it, sent it back to Dave, and so he's good with the form as is. And just another, so as we're going through kind of re-looking at everything, we've decided to delay the IFFP until we get the master plan done. We don't want to do the IFFP now and then 9 months from now find out other things and have to go through that process again. So we'd rather just put that on hold for the time being. We have the RFP for the solar array was issued 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We've had three respondents at this point.
Is it design build, design?
Yeah.
For the floating array on the pond?
Correct. So that's gone up there. Chris and I walked the site with two vendors. A third one has come in asking some pretty interesting questions. One of the people that we walked the site with, they said, "Now, what do you think about a $10 million project?" "No, it's not a $10 million project, because if it's $10 million, we'll never recoup our cash." The big part of the RFP is they need to find grants to offset the majority of the cost of doing this. And we think there's some blue sky money out there.
Do we have a good title company and a good appraiser that you're happy with?
On the RFP for the solar? So we still have, we haven't gotten things back yet, if that was your question.
What about in general? Do we have a good title company and do we have a good appraiser for the land? I'm just talking the land.
Oh, yeah, so the title company is out of Salt Lake, which I thought was weird, but I asked Dave about it and he said that that's who the county always uses.
So I would do so up here. But
so would I. I'm like, we've got, you know, we've got
yeah,
like
and it's
100
First
title
American,
companies.
So it's not.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I mean, First American's pretty good.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I feel a whole lot more comfortable if we use somebody up here, not in the valley. I'm the one with the valley. Same with the appraisers. If they have it on land, screw them.
Yeah.
Are we even going to do an appraisal?
The county did do an appraisal and gave us a 30% discount off of that. So there's no need, and they're financing it, so there's no need to spend money on an independent appraisal.
On the solar array, Sam, do you have any way of coming up with an engineer's estimate on that, or are you using the RFPs to declare?
I don't have the foggiest idea. Yeah, Chris has been kind of running with the solar array project. I don't think I'd come up with a very good estimate.
So if we put up the impact fee facility plan, I thought we were trying to do that sooner rather than later so that we could include some things.
Try part of it. The treatment plan expansion. But now that's been put on hold.
So we're okay. Yeah. Okay.
And we're still gonna move forward with the rate study. So we'll have a big presentation about that in August, just talk about the rates and things like that. So, without the treatment plan expansion being up for sure, pushing the impact fee up, the urgency of it decreased significantly.
There was some urgency because it was maybe a little low and we were missing
some opportunities. We could have been collecting more impact fees to help pay for the treatment plan expansion. But now, I think with the master plan needing to be done and giving us a better picture, the impact fee, who knows what it'll do. You know, and if we end up buying water from Park City, sending our raw water to Park City to be treated and sent back to us, that's a different mechanism than impact fees, let's say.
Through regionalization.
Not necessarily. There's a component. There's an impact fee component. Because it's for growth, it's for future growth. But I think we really wanted to make sure we had the master planning done. And if we do an IFFP now, I think we would end up doing another one again after we have the master plan done. So let's just hold off. I think impact fees are slowing down anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of a chance to take a breather.
And water consumption is slowing down too. So we need to upgrade the 6 MGD if the demand is still 4, right? Is there another way to kind of buy time with that? So that's kind of why we're taking a step back.
That's good.
That is all I have.
Okay, great. And then,
Then I
got the job description.
The job description. We talked about the district engineer position and moving more to a project manager so that what we needed to do is kind of push some of those things that we split into two and combine them into one, and then remove some of the administrative tasks that were included in the job description.
Hey, did we get a new logo?
Yeah. That's our new logo.
Yeah. I saw it on the trucks as they were driving by the other day.
Who came up with that?
It was
a collaboration.
Yeah.
Internal?
Yep.
In-house?
Yep, between Stacy and Mike, and we came up with our top five, and then we kind of had a little democratic process.
Nice. I'm psyched. Just, sometimes you hear how much that costs.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, rebranded. Yeah,
good job.
You need to get rebranded?
Yeah.
$3 million.
Yeah, exactly.
When you consider the golf balls and everything that have to go out the new logos.
We just added back some of the things that were specifically called out in the staff engineer and kind of added them back to the district engineer managing the concurrency program. Sam will be largely the primary contact for the engineering consultants. We took out some of the construction administration. We think that could be performed by the project manager.
There was a misspelling on one of those lines on managers.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Managers.
Got it. Any other questions on this?
So these are any of those job duties new job duties to the district, or are they brought over from another job duty? As you brought them over from another job description?
Yeah, in April we had we revamped a little bit our district engineer and our staff engineer. We were thinking about, heading down that path when Scott was here, having a district and a staff. And so we were kind of splitting things out and splitting more of the administrative duties to the staff engineer, following up on concurrency and doing the construction administration and some of the water testing. I think we were going to have a staff engineer. And correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, feel free to jump in. The staff engineer was going to do more of the distribution water quality testing, and you, the district engineer, was going to do the plant water quality testing. And so now we've just kind of combined it back into what Sam was doing as the staff engineer originally, but it's just called the district engineer.
Have you cleared this with HR? I mean, have they taken...
David Warnock has looked at it and
okay,
has no
the only reason I'm asking is we're creating a new job. We're putting somebody in that job, and we're not advertising for it, apparently.
It's a promotion from within, and the general manager has the ability to do that.
Okay, because it's written a lot like a job description if you were going out to the general public, because you have words in there like assist. And generally in a job description, you don't have to put the word assist in there, because that just means you're helping out, right? Because...
It's different than leading.
I'm asking the question of whether this is a new job description that could be advertised like it is, or is it...
It assists the energy and technology manager, so that would be Chris. So the district engineer does assist and facilitate with other departments in the staff, but he would not have another staff person necessarily.
Promotion and a reassignment of duties. And so that just kind of more clearly outlines some things. 90% of this, and Sam helped write a lot of this, 90% of what is there, maybe even more than 90%, was the previous job description. This just tweaks some of the other things.
You could also put in there other duties as assigned.
Yes, that's the fine print.
It takes care of everything, right? All the assisting and whatnot. Yes. So the main thing is that this is, it's a new job, but it's a promotion into a new job.
We've had the district engineer position. Scott Morrison filled it before he became the general manager. So we've always had the job. It's been with the district. When he took the general manager position, we decided to backfill with a staff engineer because he was very engineer heavy. We've now moved in a different direction, so those job descriptions need to be revised. From
Mr. Warnock
leadership.
Signed off on this.
Yeah.
Mr. Warnock signed off on it. Yep.
I thought it was interesting. You have to be able to taste but not see. There's like a thing at the end, like he has to be able to.
We blindfold the wall all the time and say, "Taste this for me." I don't know if I want to eat it.
Good for sampling water when he's out there.
I suppose.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Okay, we just need a recommendation to approve. This does not need to go to the county council.
Okay, does anyone want to make a recommendation to approve this?
Motion to approve the updated district engineer job description as discussed and presented.
I second it.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous.
Congrats, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
And thank you.
So then we, Sam, you're up next with the capital project update.
Yeah, so here's our quarterly capital project update. It's a little bit light on the construction side. As we've already discussed, our big two construction projects for the season are bumping in next year. So that's why we've got a big crater under Tier 1 projects in this quarterly update. So on the construction side, development notwithstanding, we've got a little bit of a lull during peak season, which is nice. But on the design side, we feels pretty flat out. We've got a lot coming down the pipe, and that's exciting, so that's good. Regarding the smaller, kind of internally handled projects, Tier 3, on the next page, Lisa. We finished up 2 out of 4 of our internal projects successfully, which is exciting, the biggest of which is the Kilby Booster Pump Station upgrade. Chris and his team got that across the finish line, up and running, and I think it turned out really nice and is a good safety upgrade and operation upgrade for the district. So that's great. And then we're kind of regrouping again right now to make the push in the second half of the year. We have another similar electrical upgrade happening at Spine Road. And then one other booster pump station update where I'm optimistic we can still get them done this year. There are seem to be a supply chain issue that pops up no matter what we do or no matter what route we take, but I think we're tracking pretty well to at least have a good shot at knocking those off this year as well. So that's a brief update, but not a whole lot else going on.
So Summit Park tank was approved by the Planning Commission. We'll send that out to bid in the fall. And you want to tell them about our PFAS test?
Sure.
Test results.
On the Summit Park tank, we're still communicating with the homeowners.
Yeah, Sam said. Yeah.
Yeah, so I can just run through the design projects quickly, too. So our Summit Park woodland water line, so it's essentially phase 7 of our collaborative effort previously with the county, but now with the sewer district, is on track. We have a 90% plans that we're reviewing right now, and we're going to try to award that project this calendar year with board approval and give them a notice to proceed, so then they'll have the winter to try and get ahead of any delays or supply chain issues, get their submittals in place and things like that. We're sticking to the same time frame with the tank project. That's coming along nicely. It's currently under review with the state DDW. I don't anticipate any big comments coming back, but we're holding off on getting a set of construction drawings until we get the final okay from those folks. Red Hawk Booster Pump Station upgrade, that's an IFFP eligible project from the previous plan. We just kicked that off. I have a proposal in place with EDM consultants to study and finish the design this year. Our groundwater management plan, we got that back on track, but up and running. We had a big data request that came out of our group that we had to fill, is a lot of number crunching. It took a lot of staff resources, which delayed the groundwater study for, I'd say, 2 or 3 months. So I wish we were a little further ahead on that, but it is what it is.
Was that though? We had a data request?
Yeah, we need to provide sufficient data, a data set that's never been populated before, essentially.
Oh, like well production and drawdown? And
water quality. We've got good water quality data, but specific capacity, so drawdown as it relates to flow rates coming off a well, we didn't have previously comprehensive data set going back looking at all of our good water wells. So that was a big lift internally to get that done.
Is that something Doug can help with?
Evans? Yeah, it's really a data mining effort. And Chris, we got resources from Chris's team, like Bradley O'Malley.
Okay.
So that was a huge help to get that done. Still want to make progress and finish that out this year and have some good answers for concerns next year. So yeah, I guess that's what we're doing on the design side. And you mentioned the PFAS sampling.
Quick, on Lost Canyon, sorry, what was the update on that, on the transmission capacity?
So Andy touched on that briefly earlier, but that's a continuation effort we started last year. Mm-hmm. We have a pre-design report on what the transmission and surge line is capable of moving water up the hill through the Lost Canyon system. If you take it apart from the booster pump station, so the pump station is like,
yep.
But we never had an as-built number. Like, what's the true rated capacity of the transmission system on the hill? When we're looking at build-out conditions and treatment plant expansion, that number is critical for dividing water resources among all the different players, Park City, for example.
What are the criteria you use to determine adequacy?
So, since it is a regionalization project, Weber Basin managed it. They got Bowen and Collins on board, and they stepped through basically every link in the chain of the transmission system and kind of looked at the rated capacity. So for the actual transmission line, head loss, pressure classified, and surge were kind of the three primary drivers that we arrived at a rated capacity. And the limiting factor right now, the current opinion, is pressure class pipe rating. Because if we push more flow through the pipeline, we're raising the HGL, pressures go up, and then we start exceeding pressure classes. So we're still working through that. We received a draft. We need to kind of decide how that affects us operationally. So I didn't give a big update on that one just because it's in, the recommendations are in flux, let's say.
Okay. But you kind of had an idea when we were meeting earlier this year about maybe the idea on the capacity wasn't exactly where it needed to be. So is Bowen and Collins number coming about where you thought it would be, or?
Lower.
Yeah.
Wow.
But lower from where you thought, or? Oh, really? Okay.
6,500.
So the dollar amount you're talking about, are you talking about replacing the pipe that's there or putting in a parallel?
It'd have to be parallel, because we can't take that offline.
Right.
I mean, so kind of have a phased approach, not a kind of bump us up as we look at more and more flow rate coming through the pipe.
So it's not one link in the chain? It's not like one neck down point that they can just go in quickly and replace?
The neck down point
at the
is
bottom of it, right?
10,000 feet long.
Sounds simple.
9,000 or something.
Because when they stop the water in that thing, basically, I don't know what the net is, but is it 300 feet ahead?
1,000 foot ahead. Yeah, it's 1,000 foot lift.
It's 1,000 foot lift?
Yeah.
So it's got 1,000 foot lift, so there must be a pressure greater than that in the pump.
Yeah. Yeah, 400 plus pounds sitting on the discharge.
To shove it up the hill.
I mean, it's not an easy problem to solve. It's
you're going to bump up against the pressure class as you try.
And we'll.
So it was, you're
just going to go.
It's a big piece of news. We're digesting.
Okay, thank you. That was really interesting.
I feel comfortable while we're operating the pump station. I think everybody does. We're well within, you know, safety factor tolerances for the given pressure class of the pipe. But we need to sit down with everybody and make a group decision because it affects us, Park City, Route Base.
And the proposed way to finance the upgrade is through increased water rate, not, you know, we were basically financing because charges. So that could have an impact on us. PFAS.
PFAS. So PFAS has been getting a lot of attention. So we've taken that very seriously here, and we're trying to comprehensively sample all of our sources. Last year, and again this year, we sampled our surface water source, which is the most critical source of the district. Those samples came back as non-detectable within current limits. But now we're focusing on the groundwater sources and sampling everyone in light of other test results that have happened in the basin and just trying to be proactive of upcoming legislation, which we anticipate happening in the next year or two. I think there could be federal legislation that's come down the pipe to regulate PFAS. So we've made it a little over halfway through all of our groundwater sources. We've got results back on only three of them. There's limited lab resources to actually get this done, and I think unprecedented demand with the health advisory limits that came up. So the samples are behind, but we're still gonna try and get all the results back. So far, so good. We haven't had any detectable results, but we just gotta wait to see what comes back.
What do you think the sources would be?
So the working, Michelle's
no manufacturing to speak, that we're not making Teflon pans and stuff.
I mean, Mike Lors was on the radio today saying it's in your shampoo, it's in your ski wear, it's in your ski wax,
firefighting agents,
your rainproof clothes.
So the rain clothes, what do they call it?
Vortex.
The water repelling agents have PFAS. And the sewer district sees much higher concentrations than anything that's been sampled in a groundwater source. Go ahead.
What's the technology for removing?
For treating it? That's interesting. It's early on, and then the other piece of the removal technology is they're really, when you look at the health advisory limits that were put in place, they are so low, there's essentially no technology that can get us there from a removal.
Not the GAC, just the GAC?
Yeah, that's an easy adsorptive GAC kind of process. It's probably the simplest, most cost-effective thing that's out there right now. But again, when you're talking about getting it down to 50 parts per quadrillion.
Not trillion.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to bring it out when it's designed to be hydrophobic, right?
So you have to increase your contact time to range that.
Yeah, we'll just take it as it
comes. Your vessels be huge.
Yeah, take it as it comes. Another thing is,
keep some clear water, keep some clean water somewhere, and every time you find some, pump in the clean water so you get the dilution.
Well, these samples are so
doesn't get rid of it, right?
Or these samples are so sensitive, we are doing field blanks with lab water just to make sure we're not getting any false positive readings every time we go out. So more to come on it. We're doing our best.
We're on a call with the state, and the state does have some funding available to help with the testing. Like Sam said, there's only two locations in the country that can provide the test. So I don't know if they create the hype.
But there's a real danger.
The lab.
It's good business plan.
Legislation or the policy getting in front of reality, because how many water companies, if they were faced with actually having to do something, they would bankrupt? I mean, just immediately.
Oh, yeah. Water company, municipalities, the whole. I mean, I think that's the problem. I think they let this out early, right? And now they're trying to figure out how to treat it and make it work.
Now the big part is setting the actual regulation goal or limit. It
has to be technology-based effluent.
And it has to be measurable. Yeah. So that's two big things.
Which you can't. They don't have a technology that can detect that.
The health advisory limits are considerably lower than any detectable technology that exists.
So if you have a single detection, you're over the limit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
So that's PFAS.
That's nice.
Anything else, Sam?
Great report.
Okay.
Made a lot of money on this.
No evidence so far of any.
No, Park City has seen some.
Well, sure.
But, you know, did we test up at the canyons? We just haven't seen that one back.
Yeah, just going back on your question, I guess, quick, Tim, is ski wax, fluorinated ski wax has been identified as something that could have correlation. It's just, I don't know if there's really anything to substantiate to verify that. But
Europe's banned it.
Yeah, my daughter just went out of her way to order safe ski wax.
So. That's great.
Europe's felt for a long time that there's a direct correlation, so it's completely banned.
And Toco and Swix don't manufacture it anymore, which is great. But I was really initially focused. My head went to alpine ski area, so that's where the first pulse of samples went to. What Park City has seen is in their source protection zones. They think it's coming from a Nordic ski area in their well source protection zone. Yeah.
Really? I don't know how they can figure that out.
It's
where their sources are.
So
the sources that had the biggest hit are their capture areas or recharge areas are all underneath.
Yeah. Wells.
Nordic, not ski.
Like Park Meadows Well?
Like Park Meadows Well.
Okay.
And I know.
Could be my garage, too.
Yeah, careful. How much old wax you got in there?
I'm doing my part. I'm trying to collect all the high floral wax from all my friends so I can dispose of it for them.
And I know Michelle was talking to Recycle Utah about doing a trade-in or a drop-off.
Yeah, we're also...
I got thousands of dollars worth of highly fluorinated ski wax.
Yeah, you got all this stuff. But yeah, we're collaborating with Centerville Basin Park.
Got a sampler on Mike's house. That's what I heard.
Silver Springs is a hot spot.
Oh, man.
Maybe it's me.
But yeah, we'll try to do some public education and outreach, have the buyback program, and all those things are underway and happening, and we're participating.
So. Good job.
Okay, on to department updates. Brian wins for the best picture.
So the funny thing is, when they're standing over the leak, they were digging to the one side of it, and digging and digging and digging, and the compaction there, that was there, no water was flowing through that hole. But they had a dump truck backed up, taking the spoils out, and it created a little divot, and they put their shovel in, and that's where the water was. But that was a nasty leak. It was 11 feet 4 inches to the top of pipe, right along that guardrail, coming down Bear Hollow, and it rained. There was actually a double rainbow, but I guess the other rainbow didn't show up.
I remember that one. That was a good one.
Yeah. So the guys did a great job.
Is the parking lot to Rob's just right over there to the right?
It's up.
This is below that?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is kind of down that little downhill. Kind of make that first switch back down.
No, right by Rob, right?
Yeah.
Below Rob's.
So, yeah, it's below.
Chris had said in there that they come back with all kinds of ideas from the GIS conference, stuff that was going to get implemented. What are we not doing right now?
So Chris and Caden just attended. Chris has been out with COVID, so maybe you have more information than we do.
No, he was in his report. He said they came back with all kinds of great ideas of what he was going to do.
We haven't heard those details yet. Yeah, we've tried to leave Chris alone. But we are trying to work more diligently with the GIS, identifying where leaks are, trying to put a dollar cost to those, so as we go back in history, we know what we're dealing with. There are two lines in there that they had to deal with, and so we want to recognize pipe class, and even just re-verify pipe class, depth, diameter, whatever. And so that's going to be part of it as we also then work in the field. The guys can pull that up on an iPad.
So does that pipe there go up over the backside into UOP, or is it just, there's only like four houses up above that, right?
There's actually several. Does that go into
the building UOP
tank?
Yeah, it circumnavigates, but there's one last control valve it has to hop over, and then it ties into the UOP system.
What kind of pipe was it?
I don't know.
Ductile.
Was it ductile? Yeah. I remember when that went in.
And then it's deep. I think we originally thought it was 8 feet, and it was 11.4 to top of pipe.
Holy cow.
On, you know, kind of a little downhill grade. It was tough on a narrow road.
It's a deep hole.
And those bikers fly right back.
And it's 8.4% grade right there. So it says on my bike.
When you're flying by.
Yeah. Was that you?
Going up.
All right, anything else?
I think Anna's got her little postcards.
Oh, yeah.
These are the postcards we worked with Pena Powers on. They will be getting mailed out to all of our customers with a water feature. They're not going out to like town by feet.
I have one earlier.
Okay.
It's very well done.
So Pena Powers helped us with that, and Lisa did a great job spearheading that. So we want to keep doing things like that just to keep conservation and other things So if you do get a postcard at your house and you do bring it in, we will give you a push broom.
You can have a push broom.
So Mike, you can clean out all of that ski wax and just keep pushing it.
Just not into the stormwater.
Oh, this is great.
So right now we feel that the usage by the high-end users on this will pay for the... Does it look like it's going to be recovering the loss of revenue we have by...
A good portion of it. We never expected to be able to make the whole amount back. That's why the drought reserve. But it looks like it's working that, yeah, the ones who are using a lot are paying, making up as much of the difference as we wanted them to.
We will see a leak adjustment from the Justice Center too. They had several issues. When they acquired that property, they had no idea what was over there. And they had goats, and goats caused problems. There's water lines all over the place. So that number will get back up a little bit. I can't remember how much that bill was.
It'll cost $14,000. They paid $14,000. We're probably going to adjust it down to around $7,000 that they'll actually end up paying. But yeah, that's not in the numbers yet.
All right, anything else? Okay, then I would like to adjourn at 7:28.